Chapter 30. I don't like hospitals, but then who does? I don't like the clean, cool hallways. I don't like the stark fluorescent lights. I don't like the calm ringtones on the telephones. I don't like the pastel scrubs the nurses and attendants wear. I don't like the elevators, and I don't like the soothing colors on the walls. And I don't like the way everyone speaks in measured, quiet voices. But mostly, I don't like the memories I've collected there. Andy was still in intensive care. I wouldn't be able to go in to see her. Neither would Billy and Georgia if they hadn't arranged for power of attorney for medical matters a few years back. It was long after standard visiting hours, but most hospital staffs stretch rules and look the other way for those whose loved ones are in the ICU. The world has changed a lot over the centuries, but death watches are still respected. Billy had come to me on the down low to set up power of attorney for me in case he should be hospitalized without Georgia being nearby to handle matters. Though neither of us said so, we both knew why he really did it. The only reason Georgia wouldn't be there is if she was dead. And if Billy was in no shape to make decisions for himself, he didn't want to hang around and find out what his world would be like without her in it. He wanted someone he could trust to understand that. Billy and Georgia are solid. I'd spent some endless hours in Stroger's ICU waiting room, and it hadn't changed since I'd been there last. It was empty except for Georgia. She lay on the sofa, sleeping, still wearing her glasses. A book by what was presumably a prominent psychologist lay open on her stomach. She looked exhausted. I bypassed the waiting room and went to the nurse's desk. A tired-looking woman in her 30s looked up at me with a frown. "Sir," she said, "it's well after visiting hours." "I know," I said. I took my notepad out of my pocket and scribbled a quick note on it. "I'll go back to the waiting room. The next time you go past Miss Macklin's room, could you please give this to the gentleman sitting with her?" The nurse relaxed a little and gave me a tired smile. "Certainly, it'll be just a few minutes." "Thanks." I went back to the waiting room and settled into a chair. I closed my eyes, leaned my head back against the wall, and drowsed until I heard footsteps on tile. Billy entered with a rolled-up blanket under his arm, glanced around the room, and nodded to me. Then he went immediately to Georgia. He took her glasses off, very gently, and picked up the book. Georgia never stirred. He put the book on the end table and her glasses on top of it. Then he took the blanket from under his arm and covered her up. She murmured and stirred, but Billy shushed her quietly and stroked his hand over her hair. She sighed and shifted onto her side, then snuggled down under the blanket. I reached up a hand and flicked the light switch beside my head. It left the room dim, if not really dark. Billy smiled his thanks to me and nodded toward the door. I got up and we walked out into the hallway together. "Should have tried to call you sooner," I said. "I'm sorry." He shook his head. "I know how it is, man. No apology needed." "Okay," I said, without actually agreeing with him. "How is she?" "Not good," he replied simply. "There was internal bleeding. It took 2 rounds of surgery to get it stopped." The blocky young man shoved his hands into the pockets of his jeans. "They told us if she makes it through the night, she'll be out of the worst of it." "How are you holding up?" He shook his head again. "I don't know, man. I called Kirby's folks. I was his friend. I had to. The police had already contacted them, but it isn't the same." "No, it isn't." "They took it pretty hard. Kirby was an only child." I sighed. "I'm sorry." He shrugged. "Kirby knew the risks. He'd rather have died than stand by and do nothing." "Georgia?" "I'd have lost it without her. Pillar of strength and calm," Billy said. He glanced back toward the waiting room and a smile touched the corners of his eyes. "She's good at setting things aside until there's time to deal with them. Once things have settled out, she'll be a wreck, and it'll be my turn to hold her up." "Like I said, solid."